On February 27, 1933, the Reichstag building, the German parliament, caught fire. That was 4 weeks to the day after Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. A young Dutch communist named Marinus van der Lubbe was arrested for the charge. He was later executed for it. There's a lot of speculation, a fair amount of evidence that the Nazi hierarchy lit that fire. The Reichstag is directly connected to Hermann Göring, who was second in command of the Reich. He had a direct underground connection to the Reichstag, but whether the Nazis set the fire or not is not really relevant. What's relevant is that they used the fire in order to enact sweeping legislation and a major purge of all the Communist Party officials and parties and members in all of Berlin and then later in all of Germany. These laws were called the Enabling Acts, and it gave them dictatorial powers. And they used the example of the Reichstag fire to enact an emergency powers, because they said this is a direct assault on our democracy, and therefore we have to use this emergency in order to clamp down on our political opponents. So just let me know if any of this sounds familiar to you. The Democrats, progressives, and whatever you want to call them, are determined to use what happened on the Capitol as their Reichstag fire. They're determined to use it as the example of what they need to do in order to, what they claim, secure the country from domestic terrorism, but which we all know means to essentially eliminate conservative thought and to stamp us out just as effectively as they stamped out any other opposition prior to their mass extermination and so on. I have studied the communist regime in great detail, and I've studied the Nazi regime in great detail, and other totalitarian regimes as well, but those two I know like the back of my hand. And here's what I know about these, both of these regimes, aside from the fact that they're both called themselves socialists and that they're collectivists and all the rest, the obvious stuff. What I know about these regimes is simply this. There was a chance in both cases to stop them, and the chance came at a critical moment, and they failed to stop both the Nazis and the communists from killing millions, tens of millions of people, hundreds if you count all the way around the world. The citizens of Russia and the citizens of Germany failed to stop these totalitarian regimes because they made a decision. And we are at the point now where we have to make that same decision, and we're not going to make the same decision that they made. And we have to understand what that decision is. Right now, I am seeing everywhere in comment sections people saying, you know, I supported Trump. Does that mean I'm going to lose my job? Are they going to get this kind of thing? Now, I've seen people say this is it. They're going to start rounding people up and all of it. Now, it's important that we're very clear on this, folks. I'm not denying the danger, and I'm not even saying I'm not afraid of this. I'm scared to death about this. But courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is the willingness to confront fear and act in the face of fear and do the opposite of what the fear is telling you to do. That's what courage is. So when people talk about this as being, this is it, it's all over, we're a satellite of communist China, or this is Nazi Germany and the Republic's gone and all the rest of that, that's fear. That's the sound of fear. And we're not going to be Nazi Germany, and we're not going to be the Soviet Union. And we have three reasons. I can give you three solid reasons why we're not going to be either one of those two cases, why this is going to go very differently in America, and why the forces of freedom are going to win this one. The first reason is we have the example. We have the recent example right in front of our eyes of how it was accomplished, and it was accomplished very, very similarly in both cases. In both the cases of the Nazis with the brown shirts, the SA, which was their street army. And the Bolsheviks had a street army too, and they quickly turned that into the secret police. Well, the forces of totalitarianism now have a street army in America, and it's called Antifa. And their job is to intimidate people physically. That's their job, to physically intimidate people, rough them up, make them afraid, keep them in their buildings. And when we saw the George Floyd riots, I saw everywhere down Ventura Boulevard and everywhere else in Los Angeles, not only did I see stores boarded up, I saw stores boarded up and the big letters BLM painted on all of them. We heart BLM on all of them. And that, to me, was much more terrifying than Antifa or BLM. That, to me, is the sound of people who are absolutely terrified and determined to show the thugs on the street that they're down with them and they're on the right team. This is exactly precisely what you saw in Nazi Germany and in Soviet Russia, where masses of people were so terrified, the first thing they wanted to do was show their oppressors that they were on their side. The second reason it's not going to be like Nazi Germany or Soviet Russia is because, unlike the people who were a few generations ahead of the Germans and the Russians who suffered under those regimes, unlike those two people, American people had ancestors that decided to take out a life insurance policy. We have a life insurance policy that was taken out by our founding fathers for us in the event of emergencies like this, and Germans didn't have it, and the Russians didn't have it either. It's actually a very simple insurance policy, and it's only got one clause in it, and I want to make sure I get this exactly right. A well-regulated militia, being necessary for the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, if you think that this is going to be Nazi Germany and you think it's going to be Soviet Russia, you need to understand that those people didn't have a life insurance policy, and we do. They are not going to be able to come and kick down doors and pull families out of their houses the way they want to, which is certainly what many of these people on the left are braying for now. They want to censor us politically. They want to shut our speech down. They want to make sure that nobody hears our voices. But what they really want is to get rid of us. Well, that's not going to happen here. That's not going to happen here. It's not going to happen here because of the wisdom of this life insurance policy. And if anything makes you sleep easier at night, it ought to be that. But the third and most important reason that we're not going to be Nazi Germany is because, or Soviet Russia, is because we're Americans and we're not Russians and we're not Germans. And that is the fundamental difference between us and these other two examples. The Russian people have been brutalized by czars and raided by Mongols. They had been brutalized by the Romanovs for 300 years. They were perfectly prepared for a brutal regime. They were terrified before the Bolsheviks ever came to power. Slightly different situation in Germany. The Germans weren't terrorized, but the Germans did have an unbelievable, I would say higher than any people in the world, and maybe higher than any other people in the history of the world. The German people in the 1920s and 30s had a respect for authority and an obedience to authority that I've never seen matched by any other culture in the history of the world. And we're not built like that either. The fundamental difference between us and the Germans and the Russians is that this is the land of the free and it is the home of the brave. And if you think that's just a slogan, then maybe this fight isn't for you. These next few days and months, and maybe even the next year or two, are the fulcrum of how the future of this country is going to go. They're the balancing point. If we decide that now is the time to be quiet, that now is the time to not make any noise, that now is the time to keep our heads down, that now is the time to worry that a political donation might come back and bite us later, if we decide that now is the time to start saying that the Republic is gone and then it's all over and here comes Nazi Germany or here comes Soviet Russia or here comes China, if we go down that path now, then the fear is going to increase because we'll be surrounded by fearful voices. And the more the fear increases, the greater the pressure to do fearful things like keep your head down and be quiet. Most importantly, the more people become quiet when they're afraid, then the fewer signals there are to everybody else that you're not all by yourself. This is the social proof model. This is the emperor's new clothes. Everybody else is telling you that they think that the emperor is wearing a beautiful suit, so you better might as well do it now and agree, even though you don't see it, because you don't want to stand out, you don't want to be fired, you don't want to go to jail and all the rest of it. But nobody sees the clothes. Everybody is terrified that they're not seeing the clothes, and so nobody sees the clothes, and so everybody says that they do see the clothes, and then everybody else has all of these examples that they must be the last living person or the only person on earth who believes these things, and they just shut up and go along. This is not the time to be quiet. This is the time to be loud. If there was ever a time to speak up and defy these people, it's now. If there was ever a time for people to be proud of the donations that they've made, to be proud of their conservative positions, be proud of their Facebook pages, be proud of everything, now is the time to trumpet them from the rooftops as loudly as you possibly can. It's not just you. It's got to do with everybody within the sound of your voice. This is the time when we have to be the loudest, the most vocal, the most courageous in the face of this full court press to shut us down. Because if we don't start making noise now, if we don't start showing these people that we're not intimidated and we're not afraid, if we don't start talking louder instead of more softly, then we will choose the path of fear, and that fear is going to accelerate and accelerate and accelerate until we are cowering in our basements waiting for the knock on the door. And we're not going to let that happen, because this is the land of the free and the home of the brave, and we're not built that way. It's not going to happen like that. These bastards haven't got the faintest idea what they've unleashed, but they're about to find out. When Donald Trump decided to pick a slogan for his campaign in 2016, unlike what the left will have you believe of conservatives, Donald Trump didn't come to the country with a slogan and a hat that said, "Worship me as a god." That's not what his message was. His message was, "Make America great again." Well, America's always been great, and he knows it, and we know it too. So this isn't about Donald Trump. This isn't, and Donald Trump was the first person to say that it was not about Donald Trump. This is about the home of the brave, and these bastards are not going to get us to be as afraid as they think they are going to get us to be. We're not going down that road, not going to let it happen. You're not going to let it happen either. If you're not ready to speak up and put your hands up or put your head up, okay. But if you can't spread the courage, then don't spread the fear. Okay? Can we agree on that anyway? If you're not ready to spread the courage, then don't spread the fear. Next time you're inclined to want to issue a post on a comment section or a Facebook post saying, "This is it, it's all over, they're just going to take over now, it's a matter of time until they pull us out of our beds," don't write that. If you can't write anything else, then just don't write that. And when you say, "Oh, this is Nazi Germany," don't write that. Everybody's fully aware of the threat. I don't think people need to be awoken to this mysterious, lurking underground threat. So if you can't spread the courage, don't spread the fear. We need to be turning around and looking at each other for support, not listening to these people, making us more and more and more terrified and more convinced that the fight's already over. The fight is not already over. The fight is not already over. The fight hasn't even started. We're Americans. We are built to defy authority. That's what's in our DNA. It's about time we started seeing some more of this. So govern yourselves accordingly. Govern yourselves as Americans. Don't forget the slogan. It's not just a slogan. It's either true or it's not. It's either the land of the free and the home of the brave, or that's an advertising campaign designed to sell pretty colors to American people or sell mattresses on President's Day, which I don't believe for one second. Do I believe that? Not one second. Be brave. That doesn't mean don't be afraid. And it doesn't mean don't be worried. For God's sakes, it means be courageous. Face what you're afraid of and speak louder. And if you can't speak louder, then don't spread panic. On January 6th, I said, I need 1,000 new members so that we can take that money to go out and get the millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions of dollars necessary to organize serious resistance and give us some ammunition in this fight. I made a challenge for 1,000 members by faux inauguration day on January 20th. On January 8th, we gained 266 of them. That's a 26.6% increase in 2 days. And we took a look at the numbers this morning on January 11th as we record this. We now have a total of 440 of the 1,000 new members we need. That's a 44% increase. I set January 20th as the date. It's January 10th now. And we're 44% of the way there. We did that in essentially 2 business days. In business days, we did 25% of the total a day. Can we keep that up? Not because of me. Well, not just because of me. I certainly need the resources in order to continue this fight. But not just because of me, but because of you. Because those 440 people made the decision that I'm talking about right now. They decided not to be quiet. They decided to be loud. They decided to stand up in the face of this oppression and not be quiet. We have a community of members, and we don't agree on anything. We love the country, that much we agree on, and everything else is up for discussion, and we discuss it openly and freely, as free people do. And we learn from each other's disagreements, and we have each other's backs, and we have a community of patriots here who understand the fight, and they understand where the fight is. That'll do it for this edition of Moving Back to America. It's made possible by the members at BillWhittle.com and by the people who made those one-time donations. We're very, very grateful. And we could use some more support and some more help, not just for us, but for you as well. You need to be in a line of people who understand what's at risk and encourage each other and not just be listening to this cacophony of defeatism and despair, which is magnified and amplified by the megaphones of our enemies on a daily basis. Thanks very much for being with us, and we'll see you tomorrow.